Hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. I don't know why Sharice is laughing. I didn't crack any jokes this
time. That tickled me.
All right, well, thanks for joining us for yet another episode of The Optimistic Divorcees. I am Shari.
And I am Sharice.
And together, we are two happily divorced women who are optimistic about life,
but
real about love.
Oh, yes.
We don't have any love just yet, so we're actually optimistic about that, too. Optimistic that is going to come at some point. But anyway, thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate it. And as you know, if you listen to the show, we like to start off each episode with a segment called I Do, I'm Done. And in this segment, Sharice and I share things that we've read, seen, thought about, heard, what have you. And we give our takes. We say if we're filling them with an I do or we're not with an I'm done. So this week, okay. I'm saying I do. Now, last time I said I'm done to myself. But on today, I'm saying I do.
Oh, yes.
To me.
Oh, yes. Ooh, look what the difference of week
I
makes.
Mean, I don't be Ashanda.
Oh, boy.
So.
Pulled out the tongues on the podcast.
So, guys, I am saying I do to me because I have turned another year older. Yes. Woody woo. Hootie hoo. Y'all, I'm 45. Whew, my heart started beating fast when I said that number out loud. Oh, golly.
Oh, boy.
I ain't gonna lie. Man, listen, saying that I am 45, it's really something. I can't believe it myself. I find it hard to believe. I really do. Because just a few years ago, I was 12. You know what I mean? And now here I am, a big 4'5". And it's just like, where did the time go?
Flies.
It really flies. I mean, I don't know if it takes trains and planes. I don't know what happens, but it flies. But nonetheless, I am happy to be here because I know some people didn't make it.
Yep.
But God saw fit.
Oh, yes.
For me to be here to see 45.
Oh, praise Him.
Praise Him, okay? And I am grateful. So, yeah, I think what I'm going to do is do, and I was telling Sharice this earlier, but I think I'm going to kick off 45 days of either gratitude or 45 days of happiness. So by the time you guys hear this, I'm planning on starting on Sunday, my actual birthday, which is 9/26. I say all that to say, if you would like to join me, you can with the hashtag. It's like I said, 45 days of gratitude or 45 days of happiness. It'll be one of the two. Just check my stories or the show notes. It'll be in there. What else? I think that's it. I mean, I'm saying I do to me. I'm saying I do to all the moves that I have been making. Like I feel like I have been very intentional about creating the life that I want to have. And I feel like at 45, I'm doing that. And I'm really excited about my future. I'm excited about what I am creating for myself.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, so I'm excited and I'm grateful and I'm thankful and I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, yes.
And I'm glad you guys are joining us. So that is my I do for the week.
That's nice.
Thank you, Sharice.
And I'm saying I do, too.
Okay, girl, what you said I do, too?
And it's so funny that you mentioned this gratefulness or happiness challenge to me earlier and are talking about it now because that's what my I do has to do with.
Okay.
I'm saying I do to all of the wonderful people in my life.
Oh, like me. This is so apropos.
Like Shari.
Give me my flowers whilst I'm here.
But seriously, I always joke, but then I'm kind of serious about how God really placed some wonderful people in my life because he knew my family was trash. And it's mostly, I'm mostly joking, guys. Okay. I just mean that I have actually a large family on both sides, but I'm not really close to many people on either side. But I have, my life has been filled with so many people who have become my family. Like, my friends' families have accepted me. Mm-hmm. Like, I can go, there's so many places I can go and just feel like I'm at home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not that close to my brother, but I've been blessed with brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. you know, not by blood, but oh, it's just.
She about to start crying, y'all.
I am not.
Oh, okay. I saw tears welling up.
But yeah, I'm just grateful for that because I am loved.
Mm-hmm.
I am loved.
Oh, yes. That's great. That's
oh,
truth.
My God.
Now she's going to start crying.
No, I'm not. Okay. I don't be crying like that no more.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Your eyes were looking a little glassy, so.
We are together because I came to celebrate with Shari
yes,
for her birthday.
Yes.
It has really been a great last 2 weeks. I've celebrated her and my other friend, you mm-hmm. know, September. It's a good month for birthdays.
It is a good month for birthdays. I don't know why people be acting like September ain't a good month. Look, September is that month, okay?
Yes, that month.
You got Beyonce. You got Will Smith. Mm-hmm. You got Jada Pinkett.
Mm.
You got, I can't think of everybody else. You got a lot of people. Because there's a meme that says something like, it says, have you ever looked on your timeline and see like two people's birthdays and be like,
yes,
damn, everybody's birthday today. That's how it's been feeling in the month of September.
That's funny.
So yeah, September is a great month for birthdays. But anyway, I think that's it. Is that it for you?
That's it.
All right. Well, on that good positive note, guys, stick around. We have a special guest. So we'll see you after the break.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Optimistic Divorcees Podcast. If you have topic suggestions or would like to be a guest, send us an email at theoptimisticdivorceespodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not already, make sure to follow us online at The Opt Divorcees on Instagram and The Optimistic Divorcees on Facebook. To sign up for our email list, use the link in our Instagram bio or check out the show notes. All right, welcome back, everyone. We're so happy to be joined by our very special guest for today. Her name is Gretchen Campbell, and she is a therapist, an author, a speaker, a coach, a podcaster. She's all the things. And she's here today to talk with us about, let me tell you the name of the podcast, because this really appeals to me. And I need to subscribe ASAP. It is called I'm a Mom of a Teen, Help. Man, I couldn't have worded that better myself. So please, Gretchen, welcome. And is there anything that I left out?
Thank you for that introduction. Sometimes when I think about all the different things that I do, I'm like, that is a lot. It is a lot. But thank you. No, I think you introduced me extremely well. My name is Gretchen. I'm a licensed clinical mental health counselor in the lovely state of North Carolina. But I am an original Jersey girl. I always have to throw that in there to let people know that I'm original Jersey girl all day. But yes, all the things. Book, group practice owner, author, podcast host, etc. So thank you for having me.
No problem.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being here.
So we're going to jump right into the questions. And
we want to talk to you about the subject of children and divorce and just kind of how to navigate through that whole thing. So our first question is, how should the subject of divorce be discussed with children, especially if they're young kids versus maybe like a teenager?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so interesting enough that I've spoken on this topic several times. I've actually written a few articles on the topic for different publications and for a local law firm that it's called Triangle Divorce, and they solely focus on divorce. And so I, you know, work with them for, you know, tons of different things. And they often send me families who are thinking about getting a divorce and want to have conversations with their kids, right? And so I always tell parents that you need to meet kids where they're at, right? Mm-hmm. And so that begins with the language that you're using, that you're going to use. But even before you go into telling them, I often have a conversation with parents about, are you sure, right? Like, at what stage are you in, right? Are you and dad thinking about separating first, right? Mm-hmm. Or are we at the point where, yes, you know, we are going through with a divorce? Because you kind of want to minimize how much information you share with kids if you are not 100% sure, right? Because even that can become extremely confusing for kids, right? So once mom and dad, like in the ideal world, and I know that divorces can be messy, right? Yeah. But in the ideal world, right? Mom and dad being on the same page is crucial. Mm-hmm. Because in the ideal world, you would like to be able to give the message together.
Right. Okay.
Going to the kids together and giving them the information together communicates to the kids that mom and dad are going to be here to support you. And this is no matter what age it is, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you've got one parent giving one message, right? So mom is telling kids and then dad comes with another message. And then the kids are like, well, who do we believe? Mom told us this, right? And I've worked with kids who've said, well, my dad told me mom cheated. And so that's why, right? That's why they're getting a divorce. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Uh-huh. And, oh, well, mom said, you know, dad's not doing enough or whatever, right? And oftentimes the stories are different, right? And so then the kids are like, well, who do I believe, right? And then, you know, the kid now feels stuck in the middle and they often start to feel like they need to pick sides. So once the parents have decided that they are going to get divorced, then I tell the parents, so then it's a good idea for you guys to sit down and talk about how are we going to tell the kids? And again, you want to be mindful of the language that you are using. For small kids, right? Depending on how savvy they are, some of it is about affirming them and letting them know the things that will remain the same.
Okay.
Right. And so mom and dad still love you. Right. That's not going to change. Right. If mom and dad have talked about living situation, this thing is not going to change. You will remain here. Right. And maybe dad has, you know, I've worked with parents where dad has already gotten an apartment or mom has already gotten an apartment. Right. And so you will stay here on these weeks. You will stay with, you know, with this parent on these weeks. You'll have your own room. You'd be surprised by how excited kids will get when they know that they'll have a new room, right? And kids are like, ooh, do I get to pick out new toys and decorate it, right? It's about the delivery. So it's about the delivery. It's about presenting, you know, as a united front and normalizing some things, right? These are the things that will remain the same, but here are some things that might be different, right? Like we might not have dinner together anymore, right? We might not do, you know, maybe family trips together, right? We might not go out on the weekend together, right? Like explaining to them small things that will change and things that will remain the same. Why they're getting a divorce doesn't matter. Kids don't need to know that. To me, and that's across the board, no matter what age. Mm-hmm. Kids don't need to know the ins and outs. They don't need to know the details, even if they do ask, right? Maybe once they get older, you can tell them, right? Maybe. But kids don't need to know. They don't need to know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Teenagers, same thing. Usually the teens that I've worked with, they are more concerned about, because teens are selfish, so they are more concerned about how is my life going to change? Will I be able
to how am I going to be affected?
Exactly. Right. Will I be able to go to the same school? Mm-hmm. Right? Do I have to make new friends? Kids want to know that their life is going to remain the same. Now, I've worked with some kids who the families decided to get a divorce once some of the older kids were like out of the house, and like maybe the youngest was on their way out. And then they told the kids, and the kids felt like the parents were lying to them for years. Oh, right.
Wow.
Yeah. Very interesting. That was a very interesting dynamic. Like the kids felt like you guys have been lying to me for years. Right. Why couldn't you stay married one more year while I'm still in school?
And how would one answer a question like that?
Well, you know what? Listen, I'm trying. How do you answer that? I don't know if there's a correct way to answer.
Okay.
Because I think this kid was very savvy, and I had to say to the parents, like, you've got to be honest. Because mm-hmm. you were withholding information, right? But I think you were doing it, you thought that it was going to be beneficial for the kid. Right. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, sometimes families say, you know, parents will say, well, we're staying together for the kid. Well, which kids? Right. So if you're going to stay together for one, are you going to stay together for all of them?
Mm.
Right. And so that's what the kid figured out. Like, oh, why now? Why can't you just stay together one more year while I'm still in high school?
Wow.
So, yeah, it's rough. Yeah.
Man, mm-hmm. sure, we held on as long as we could.
Right, like I'm at my wit's end with your daddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tune in to the Faith Over Everything podcast, which covers literally everything, whether it's pop culture, religion, politics, relationships, fashion and beauty, entertainment, Black culture. We are talking about it all. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode available for your listening pleasure on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, you name it. Also, feel free to follow us on the following pages. Instagram is faithovereverything_podcast, or on Facebook, the page is Faith Over Everything. Thank you for tuning in.
But you know, I like what you said as far as just being a team and saying, you know, what you need to say together, mm-hmm. because I feel like sometimes parents don't think that their kids can be, I guess, strong enough to kind of handle information or handle honesty. But like you said, I guess it's all just in the delivery and how you say it, you know. Mm-hmm. To make it easier for them to understand or digest, and let them know at the end of the day, like, we love you. It's nothing that you did. It's us.
Yeah.
I like how she said it's really all about the approach and parents coming together to have a conversation and to be honest, because, you know, just even in thinking about the, like when we had Melissa and Mel and Nick on, like they were adults. You know, but it was still information that was withheld, and they didn't feel like things were done like in honesty. And so even as adults, like it came back, and like they were upset about that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's just a lot to be said with realizing that your children can handle truth. It's just in how it's presented. And B, I don't even remember what I was going to say, but
yes, United so Front.
Thank you. Yes. United Front. Thank you, Cherise. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So my question is, so we talked about, or you talked about the ideal situation being the United Front. So how would a person who's not in that ideal situation, like how should they approach it? I know there shouldn't be any bashing of the other parent,
How should that go?
Yeah, so you want to deliver the same information, right? If you can, if you, as one parent, whether or not it's mom or dad, if you know that there are certain things that will remain the same, you want to make sure that you're affirming that. Like, these are the things that are going to remain the same for you, right? These are the things that I know that I'm going to follow through with, mm-hmm. right? I will still be there. I will still support you. I will still attend games, right? You will be here these days of the week, et cetera. Also keeping in mind, right? You can't control what the other person says, right? Yeah, and so I often tell parents, you want to let kids know that it's okay for them to come to you and to talk about whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so if the other parent says something, right, and you have questions about it, it's okay for you to come to me and ask me. Okay. Now be ready for what the kid might ask, though.
Yeah.
Be ready for what they might ask, right? Because they might be like, listen, mommy said that she caught you with Bonquisha. Listen. You don't know what's going to come out your kid's mouth, right?
That's so true.
Be prepared, mm-hmm. right? That's going to be up to right the parent there. On how much are you going to share. If your kid does come to you and say, you know what, mommy said that that somebody cheated. She cheated. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be honest? Mm-hmm. So,
you know, the other thing I'm getting from this is that as a parent, when you're telling your child or children, like, this is what's going to happen, it's like you're setting expectations for them. So it's kind of like they know what to expect, because I think that's part of the fear too as a child. Exactly. Like, it's already fearful that what I've known is changing. So it wants to kind of manage those expectations.
Exactly.
Kind of helps ease and take some of the fear out of it.
That's exactly what you're doing, because what you don't want to do is set unrealistic expectations, right? Because I've had parents who've had to backtrack, right? Like, you said, you will stay, you and mommy are going to get an apartment, or you guys will be moving, and then they don't move, or dad says, I'm going to be living here. It'll be right around the corner from your mother, but then it's not. It's in a completely different town. And then the parents are like, well, how are they going to remain at the same school? And it gets messy, which is why it's best that the parents can be on the same page, making some of the really crucial decisions, right, about what school are the kids going to go to? Are they going to remain in the same school, right? What house is going to be the primary residence, right? After all the visitation stuff is squared away, right? Are we going to be doing week on, week off, half week, which is a whole nother story, that the week on, week off and shuffling back and forth. I think that kids should have a say in that, but they often don't.
Mm. You know, like, even with that, talking about managing expectations, that also plays into trust for a kid. Because if you've told me this and now that's not happening, well, how can I trust what mommy says, or how can I trust what daddy said? Because and kids are good for bringing up, well, you said.
Yes, you are. They remember.
Yeah.
They definitely remember.
Wow. So I actually wanted to ask this question early. I think we should probably ask this earlier, but I'm really curious to know, how did you decide, like, this is the lane, or this is kind of what I want to specialize in, like dealing with teens and tweens and parents and that whole spectrum?
So I would say right out of undergrad, I worked at a residential treatment facility with kids. And I knew then that was the population that I wanted to serve. So I went back, got my master's. So I've been in the mental health field for a really, really long time. So I tell people like 20 years and they're like, what? How old are you? I've been in the mental health field for a long time. And I like seeing change with kids. You can see change. And I often say that, It chose me. I think the field chose me and the population chose me. All the places that I, you know, worked at, it, you know, I was always placed with kids, and maybe some of that was me because I wanted to work with kids because it was always enjoyment there. And kids always talked to me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it just kind of fell in my lap. And when I started my private practice, I knew I wanted to work with adolescents because all of my work before then had really been with adolescents. I had done some work with adults with chronic mental illness, et cetera, but I knew that my love was for the adolescent population. So when I started my private practice, that's what I focused on. I focused on adolescents, primarily teen girls. And then it became teen girls and their moms. That fell into my lap because I started getting tons of calls for moms who were having issues with their teenage daughters, which is why my book is I'm a Mom of a Teen Girl Help. And so then from that, I started, you know, getting calls from younger adults who were having issues with their moms. And so, yeah, I think it fell into my lap. And I still my first love, and I think it will always be working with the adolescent population. And you cannot do this work without working with parents if you're working with kids. Some therapists mm-hmm. do work mm-hmm. with kids and don't include the parents because I get those mm-hmm. phone calls and I'm like, how? You can't mm-hmm. do this work with kids if you're not working with the parent because they're right. with the parents all the time. So, yeah.
Wow, I love it. That's so interesting. And it's cool that you get to do something that you love and that you realize, like, man, like, this is really what I love to do. And it kind of just fell all into place.
yeah, it has.
And you're a mom, right?
I am not.
Oh, okay.
Nope. Okay. And I tell people that who listen on the podcast, I say that often on my podcast. I'm like, listen, I'm not a mom, right? So I'm never coming from a mom perspective because I've never walked in shoes of a mom, but I've worked with so many teens. I feel like mm-hmm. I've dealt with every single issue that a mother have dealt with, that a mother has probably dealt with mm-hmm. from the perspective. I have seen and heard it all. Seen and heard it all. It's usually just a different face. I'm like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I've had that before. So yeah, but no kids.
Oh, okay. Well, just thinking about what we discussed at the beginning on how to relay the message, and you know, making sure the kids can trust and all of that, and just thinking about my own experience, I see why people say we on safe for the kids. So what is your professional opinion on that, about couples staying together for the children?
Yeah, so kids are pretty savvy and kids can tell. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've had kids say to me that they knew their mom and dad were unhappy. And once they got divorced, some kids have said, my mom is happy now. Kids can tell. So parents often think that they are pulling one over on kids. No, kids can tell when their parents aren't happy. They aren't. And if the sole purpose of you staying together is because you feel like you're keeping the family together. Mm-hmm. But if you're unhappy, that impacts your kid. Kids can tell mm-hmm. when their parents are not happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I have a probably... I won't say a dumb question, but I'm sure after this, it's going to be like, girl, okay. So with that being said, are the children, do you think that the children, or have you seen children whose parents have divorced? Do they come across as happier because their parents are happier now? Or what is that dynamic?
So yeah, I can recall a few that once their parents were, divorced and they were no longer living in the same house. And once the parents started dating, kids seemed happy. Mm-hmm. I can remember one verbalizing that they were happy there, that their mother was dating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's another question that we don't have to ask on this episode. But before we get there, I do want to kind of go back a little bit and just talk about what you think some of the mistakes are that parents make with their children during the process of divorce. I know we've kind of talked about some things in terms of, you know, not doing it together and not being honest, but are there any other mistakes that parents can avoid when needing to have this discussion with their children?
Yeah, I think just sharing too many details that kids don't need to know. Kids don't need to know the messy stuff. If you can avoid it, kids just don't need to know. Mm-hmm. There's things that should remain confidential between the parents that kids don't need to know. Mm-hmm. Okay. Financial stuff, like finances, right? Like, you know, parents will say, oh, you know, me and your mother, your father, we aren't together anymore. So, you know, we're not going to be able to do those things anymore because we don't have the money. Like, you don't need to tell.
It's like, it's not their problem.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need to share all those details with kids. You don't.
How do you address that, though? Because sometimes a kid is like, well, why can't I get every PlayStation that comes out and all the games and all the new Jordans and all the trips? Why can't I?
Yeah. So is legit, is that because the parents are divorced, or is that just because we just don't have the money to be spending on frivolous stuff and you don't need it?
Well, let's say it's because the parents are divorced because there's no longer a two income household.
So it's no longer a two income household, right? And so the kid is asking for a PlayStation, right? So he's primarily living with mom and he's asking for a PlayStation. Are the parents communicating? I feel like there's so many levels to this. Do the parents communicate? Because listen, both parents are still working, right? Both parents are still actively working. There's no, yes. there's, it, the, you are raising the kid together, right?
Okay. So
both
your
parents are supporting the kids.
Right. You're describing one of those ideal situations again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So think not so ideal.
Okay. So depending on how old the kid is, right? I say we can have a conversation about, listen, we can't afford that right now because of X, Y, and Z. And be realistic, right? But maybe we can plan to get it, like, I don't know, maybe it's Christmas. Right. Maybe it's 6 months from now. Maybe that's a goal that you can work towards. Maybe, you know, you're assigning the kid, right? Like maybe you work towards it by doing chores, something. But to have an answer like, well, me and your daddy ain't together no more, so I ain't got the money. No.
That's not it. Huh?
That ain't the answer.
Oh, boy.
No. Because then the kid goes back and say to the father, like, well, mom, you said because y'all ain't together no more. That's why I can't get Jordans, or that's why I can't get this.
Because kids do go back and talk.
Yeah.
They sure do.
Yeah. They take things literally.
Yes. They sure do.
Oh, mom.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. I'm Dana, aka Dynamite781 across the social medias, and I am here to tell you about my podcast that is currently streaming on your favorite listening platform. It's called This Should Be in a Book. People often tell me that the things I say should be in a book, but I didn't want to write a book. So I decided to release my knowledge podcast style. New episodes are available every Monday, and you'll be able to listen to my insight on this thing called life, 3 points into poem style, minus the poem. So after you finish listening to this podcast, head on over to This Should Be in a Book to listen and subscribe. Hope you enjoy.
So when parents are, so they're divorced and the kids are dealing with it or whatever, what are some signs or some things a parent might see in a child that's coping with divorce? Like,
when I got divorced, my son, when we separated, he was 2. When we divorced, he was 3. So in my head, I was like, I mean,
yeah, he's young.
Fine. Yeah, he's not gonna, this is not going to affect him too much in any kind of way. And yeah. I was sadly mistaken. He was affected by our divorce. And always wanted us to be back together. Even up until he was like a teenager. He didn't even have any recollection of us ever being together, but he always wanted us to be together.
Together. So like,
what do you, how do you deal with that? What do you, what should parents expect to see from their children coping with divorce?
Yeah, so I guess depending on, so at 3 years old, what, how did he respond?
Girl, that's a long story.
Because I think it, you know, depending on, so I've seen kids, some get depressed, some get, you know, they start to isolate. It looks like anger, but it's not really anger. It's sadness and it's confusion around their life changing, right? And the primary unit no longer being together. So I think it, you know, it looks different for each kid, depending on the age, depending on how the family functioned when they were together, right? If it was a solid family unit and the kid, you know, has happy memories and they, you know, enjoyed when mommy and daddy were together, right? Like, so they may respond in that way. For some kids, you know, to them, if the, let's just say the parent was on the road a lot, because I've had those, the parents on the road a lot, and the kid is like, well, they were never here anyway.
Oh, wow.
Right, like the parent traveled all the time. And so it's kind of like, well, you know, not much has changed. So it didn't really affect them that much. So I definitely think that, you know, it's going to depend on the family. It's going to depend on the age of the kid. Yeah.
But it is safe to say that there's a possibility that regardless of the age, you may see some type of effect on the child.
Yeah, so there might be, you know, for younger ones, they might become more clingy. Maybe more whiny, you know, more attention-seeking, let's just say. Mm-hmm. It might be more attention-seeking because the one parent is not present. And if they're used to the parent being there, right? They might cry at nighttime because the other parent is no longer there. There were some traditions that maybe the parent used to put them to bed and that parent is no longer there. So it's them getting used to the new routine, right? So whether or not it's mommy or daddy not being able to put them to bed at night, not waking them up in the morning, not fixing them breakfast. It's just small, minute things that happen on a day-to-day basis that are no longer there that the kid needs to get adjusted to.
So like with that, do you have any suggestions or advice for parents who may be dealing with children who are kind of going through those stages of maybe... I would think too, now this just popped in my head, I would think that maybe a child would maybe go through the stages of like grief because of like divorce that their parents are going through. Would you say? Okay.
Yeah. I remember writing an article one time and I said that, parents go through a divorce, and kids have their own lens. They have their own lenses and how they see the divorce as well. So the parent is going through stages, the kid is also going through their own stage, right? I think sometimes parents often believe, well, as long as they still have food, clothing, and shelter, they'll be okay. No, not absolutely not, right? If you are impacted by the separation and by the divorce, your kid is also going to be impacted. There will also be a roller coaster of emotions. Just like your experience, it may look different, but they'll go through their own roller coaster of emotions as well. Yeah.
And so any suggestions for parents who are kind of going through are to help their children deal with the roller coaster of emotions that they may be going through?
Yeah, so just being there, just being supportive, really, again, letting the kid know that you are there and that they can come to you and talk to you at any time. If they don't feel comfortable with talking to you, right, let me know and I will get someone that you can talk to. And whether or not, you know, that's a therapist or whether, you know, it could be an extended family member, right? Like call your aunt, call your uncle if you feel like you want to talk to somebody else because you can't tell mommy how angry you are with mommy. Right. And I tell parents, like, you need to tell your kid, right? If you're angry with me, that's okay. It's okay for you to say you're angry with me, right? Because the kid needs to know. They need to know that it's okay for them to be upset and to be angry at both parents.
Can I just tell you how awesome that is for a child to learn that at a young age? Because how I'm sure we grew up, like, it was just, we're not gonna, no, you don't question me. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Or no, you don't need to talk to so-and-so about, you know what I mean? It's like, you keep everything in, you deal with it, we'll deal with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's so refreshing just to hear that. And I'm kind of jealous of like the kids that get to hear that message early, where it's like, okay, if you can't talk to me, if you don't feel comfortable talking to me, then A, like you said, I'll find someone for you to talk to that you feel comfortable talking to. Or maybe you can talk to, you know, your aunt or, you know, the family friend or somebody at church, whatever, somebody that you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Because we didn't have that.
Yeah, they were like, our business stays in the house.
Yeah.
You better pray. Okay.
Talk to God. He know anyway, but talk to him. You can have that something out.
Man, sometimes I side-eye the new parents and how they deal with the children. But when it comes to stuff like that, I think that is wonderful. Because you don't tell your mama that you angry with her. What? So
game changer.
Would you say, like you said, you know, whether it's a therapist, an aunt, whoever, but do you think that children should be maybe put in therapy right away after a divorce?
Yeah, so not right away, because I think there is a natural adjusting process, right? That kids can just go through, unless there are like flashing red flags, warning signs, right? If the kid is acting out, if they're failing in school, if they're presenting as being really down and sad all the time. So that might be a cause to get them connected with the therapist, but I wouldn't say immediately. I've had parents, you know, reach out to me and kids were so young and they had just gotten divorced and they just wanted me to like do an assessment. And I'm like, they're fine. They're fine. I'm like, you can reach out to me later, but if you're not having, you know, issues at home, right. There's, you know, there's no rule book saying that they need to immediately be seen by a therapist just because the parents are getting a divorce.
That makes sense.
Okay, so I have one more question, and this is going to detour just a little bit because we've been talking about, you know, children and them handling divorce. But just to pivot, what's the conversation or what should the conversation look like when, okay, mommy and daddy, they've gotten a divorce. Now maybe they're introducing someone. What does that look like?
That's a good question, Shari.
Yeah, so when you mean when the parents are dating, thinking about dating, I think that's going to again depend on the age of the children, and how comfortable the parent feels with bringing someone new around their kids, right? I do think that there should be a conversation before the introduction around, no one's ever going to replace your parent. That's not what this is, right? I think kids need to know that, because I've had kids say that, you know, they got remarried and, you know, automatically want me to call the person mommy or daddy. And I'm just like, So kids need to they need to know that you are not trying to replace who their primary parent is. Mm-hmm. Introduction, I would say, like, slowly, right? Sometimes I don't know what parents be thinking, though. Like, they don't be thinking. Yeah, they don't because the introduction happens so swiftly, and then it's almost like you want to force the kid to like the other person, and mm-hmm. it's just like, that's not going to work, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to, and especially for teens, right?
Yeah,
like once you do an introduction, that should be it, right? It should be you are dating that person. Your kid is not dating that person unless you're talking about getting really serious and it's going to be leading to marriage, then maybe your partner can make some attempts to start building a relationship with your kid, mm-hmm. right? But I don't think it should be forced, right? Like mm-hmm. forcing them to go out to dinner and to the movies. Oh, come on, we are going out. And no, because I've had kids say, like, I don't want to go out with them, right? Like, that's your person. Right. I'm not interested in getting to know them. And I think parents need to respect that.
Mm, yeah.
They need to respect that, you know, your kid has a father or a mother. They don't have to like your partner right off the bat just because you like them.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah.
I love that. That's great advice. And then, too, it's like, you've had time to get to know this person. That's why you like them so much.
Exactly.
Your kid time to, you know, exactly. to get to know them, too.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Well, this conversation has been really good and enlightening. Even I don't have children either, Gretchen, but but I got friends with kids, so you know I'm like, girl, you might want to listen to this podcast. Right.
Yeah. My son is 19, so I done made all these mistakes already. So.
He an adult now. Oh well, it's over.
Right. Call your therapist, child. Cause
oh my gosh, too funny. But I'm glad that we are having this conversation, and I'm hoping that, you know, those who listen will share this conversation, share this podcast episode, you know, share what they've learned, even with, you know, their children. Like, if you've learned something from this, take it on and implement it. So yes. Gretchen, please give us all the deets, like where you can be found, your podcast, where that can be found, where people can purchase your books if they're interested. Give us all of the deets.
Gretchen, yeah. Before you do that,
yes.
Can I say this too? A takeaway I got.
Yeah.
Man, for people that aren't married and maybe don't have kids yet, they need to listen to this too. Like, you need to think about all of this before you get married, before you have children. Like, think about how all the decisions that you make, how that may affect your future children and your family, because it's not just about you. So think about that. All right, now go ahead, Gretchen.
Gotcha. Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at Gretchen A. Campbell _LCMHC. You can also find me on Twitter at the same handle. Just type in Gretchen A. I should come up. You can find my website, Gretchen A. Campbell, or Grow, Encourage, Empower. My book can be purchased on my website, Gretchen A. Campbell, or on Amazon. The podcast, I'm a Mom of a Teen Help, is streamed on all podcast platforms. Most people use Apple, but you can find it on Spotify, Podchaser, etc. So that's me.
Awesome. And of course, we will have all of Gretchen's information in the show notes. So you'll be able to stay in touch and listen to her podcast, purchase any books that you might want to read from Gretchen. And if you want to keep up with Sharice and I, you can do that on Instagram as well. You can find me at Shari Lachelle. That's Sharilachelle. And Sharice.
You can find me at Au Naturel, and the spelling will be in the show notes.
All right. Well, on that note, ladies and gents, thanks so much for tuning in, and we will catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Optimistic about life. Real.